A quick note before the show, this podcast contains explicit language.
This is really exciting. Okay, we need to calm ourselves because this is going to be good.
I'm Felix Contreras. Let the chisme begin.
Oh my God, I love that. I'm Ana Maria Sayer. We're here with the amazing, venerable, wonderful, fabulous
Isabella Gomez Sarmiento.
Oh, wow. I'm never going to say your name again. You have to do it every single time. Two days ago, we released the most legendary, amazing, internet-breaking Tiny Desk to ever exist, in my opinion.
I'm snapping.
Lo de Benito, Bad Bunny Tiny Desk. If you haven't watched it already, I would highly recommend going and watching it. Now, we're talking about this happening during arguably what is maybe the biggest peak of Bad Bunny's career. I need to set the scene a little bit. So he comes in on a cold Washington, D.C. day. We packed the room. There had to be 250 people in there, maybe, like full maxed out.
There was a lot of buzz and a lot of anticipation in the building, people waiting in the hallway before he got there, everyone kind of nervously chattering amongst themselves, like we knew something big was about to go down.
I had been talking to his team for years. We had all been wanting this to happen, waiting, album would drop, and it wasn't the time. And now I understand, because this was the perfect time. His whole crew came in, all different kinds of instrumentalists, all from the island. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them,
mm-hmm.
decked out in casual wear, sports clothes, very representative of the space. And he came in just ready to rock. I mean, the energy in that room that day, Issa, you were there.
I was.
One of the highest energy I have ever experienced.
I mean, we were all buzzing. Like, obviously, first when his album Debí Tirar Más Fotos came out in January, but then when he came a month later to play it for us at the Tiny Desk. De aquí nadie me saca. De aquí yo no me muevo. Dile que este es mi casa. Donde nació mi abuelo. De aquí nadie me saca. De aquí yo no me muevo. Dile que este es mi casa. Donde nació mi abuelo.
I got to speak with him after the Tiny Desk, and he said something to me that I think is really kind of an explanation in a nutshell of why his record, Debí Tirar Más Fotos, that came out back in January, is blowing up. I mean, he says it on the record, this fear of losing home, of being disconnected away from home.
Miedo de perder algo, yo creo que siempre uno...
Afraid of losing something? I think always, one always lives in fear of losing something. When you're afraid of losing something, what you do is take care of it even more. Protect it, defend it. I would tell you about so many things that maybe I'm afraid of losing, but the action of starting to take care of and defend what one has is worth more than saying you are afraid. So before, I said I'm afraid. I'm ready to overcome that fear. But from another perspective, the album comes from a point of missing Puerto Rico, from a point of being far from Puerto Rico, and from starting to appreciate many things that may have always been there, and they weren't appreciated. So that's more or less where all of this comes from.
Y no se valoraban, entonces de ahí viene más o menos todo.
I thought this was such a powerful answer when he gave it to you, because I think it really shows that the angle of this music and this celebration for him is not necessarily about worrying or looking back in remorse, but looking back and wanting to celebrate, looking back and wanting to rally people in defense of the island, and also saying it's not too late. You know, we can still do something, and the music is what's going to rally us up to stake what's ours, essentially.
I love that interpretation, not only of his answer, but really of what this album is. I think there's a point of connection, a point of access for everyone, because it's not down tempo, it's not downtrodden, it's not defeated, and anyone can really take something from that. And that has never been more clear to me than the celebratory element of it. Okay, so let's start with a little bit of the Tiny Desk version of Pitorro de Coco.
Otra Navidad en la que te pedí. Otra Navidad que no estás aquí. Feliz año nuevo, pero no tan feliz. Te dieron un beso a las 12 y no fui yo quien te lo di. Hace un año que yo estuve ahí, hace un año que yo estuve ahí. Hace un año tu primer abrazo fue solo pa' mí. Me tenía en la nube y como un rayo caí, caí, caí. Y ahora ni una llamada, ni un solo mensaje, los brothers me la montan. Dicen que estoy en un viaje, son las 12 y 4, ya estoy bien loco, llorando y bebiendo. Pitorro de coco que me trajo abuelo, pa' que vacilara, no pa' que por un cuero. A las 12 lloraron.
Vocals, vocals. I wasn't sure how hard he was gonna go for it. I knew that, you know, this album is very vocally heavy, singing heavy. I think maybe more than almost any record he's had. Despite the fact that it makes perfect sense for the space, I was like, oh, this is going to be a test. Because no in-ears, no monitors, no backing track, no auto-tune. They were clear on that before they came in. And I was like, can he rise to the occasion?
Siempre supe que era malo. No te creas que soy ciego. Yo cerraba los ojos y te besaba de nuevo. Con el doble 6 y doble 5 me trancaste luego. Somos iguales, nos veremos luego. Ojalá no conozca otra como tú. Tú eres malo, te fuiste como la luz. Como quiera me vino tu para las 12 cuando el año se acabó.
I think this was such a crazy way to start the Tiny Desk, because so much has been said and written about Bad Bunny's voice. How deep it goes, how high it goes, how he manipulates it. And yet we've never heard it be so full before, and we've never heard it be so bare before. He's completely projecting in this room acoustically in a way that just transcends anything we've come to understand about his voice up until this very moment.
That was Pitorro de Coco by Bad Bunny from his Tiny Desk. Fabiola Mendez had graced our beautiful desk with her incredible cuatro, traditional Puerto Rican cuatro, playing about a year prior.
I remember.
Maybe it was 6 months. It was the last El Tiny, so 6 months and some. And really to see her again in this space with one of the biggest artists in the world, probably arguably the biggest name off of the island, to have her moment and do and shine in the way that she did. And this was, I mean, he kept doing this, right? Like, he kept giving the musicians their place to shine and show their traditional instrumentation, which really rounded it out nicely.
Yeah, he's not just talking the talk when he says he wants to appreciate the things that haven't been appreciated. He's really walking the walk. He gave all of these musicians the time and the recognition for their instrument to really take center stage, which is already so amazing, but even more so when we're not used to seeing Bad Bunny perform with a band like this, with these kinds of instruments, with these kinds of sounds. So it was like magic in, on both levels, you know?
Right. And to have it so up close too, where you can literally see these instruments, see the musicians playing them, like you can't spot like a traditional artist in a stadium.
Should we go to PR?
You know I always want to.
Let's go.
Isa, I have never heard a reggaeton track, honestly, in general, sound like this. Even at the Tiny Desk, we've had a lot of reggaetoneros come through and do their different arrangements. I love hearing fresh new takes on dembow every single time. But this was really like I've never heard it before. This is a little bit of Voy a Llevarte pa' PR.
Hey, yo la conocí en Miami en Brickell. Ella sabe que aquí hay ticket, quiere que yo se la aplique, que pa' casa la trafique. Hey, voy a llevarte pa' PR, mami, pa' que veas cómo es que se perrea. Tráete a tu amiga si te gusta la idea, dile que esta noche vamos a janguear. Qué rico la vamos a pasar, aquí nadie se va a casar, pero tú te vas a querer quedar. Hey, aprovecha que estoy soltero.
It sends me every single time.
I forgot that he did that until I was rewatching this Tiny Desk.
No, you don't understand, Isa. In the warm-up, he kept doing it. And they had that sound on the sampler. It was like he kept accidentally hitting it. And the whole room would go, what? The second that the like he moves from like that intro to the actual dembow, I'm like, I remember hearing that for the first time and being like, oh, this is gonna be unlike anything we've ever heard.
Música de Puerto Rico, por si no lo sabía. Ey, 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 voy cazando y muero perreando. Voy cazando y muero perreando. Voy cazando y muero perreando. Que bailan todas las gatas, no fuimos al garete. Estás escuchando el que más le mete. Dale, mami, suéltate el grillete. Ponte en fuego el que te voy a dar fuerte. Ponte en cuatro que te voy a dar fuerte.
There are songs on the album that have the plena, bomba, salsa arrangements. And I really thought that's what he was going to bring to the Tiny Desk. It was really cool to watch him take a straightforward reggaeton dembow song on the album and completely reinvent it into a plena arrangement. So many people have talked about how this album feels very intergenerational because it's genres that parents and grandparents know and love. And it's kind of opening them up to the world of Bad Bunny, who maybe before they were like, grosero, he's so vulgar. Mm-hmm. You know, they maybe didn't quite appreciate him in his reggaeton lane. And this, like, the plena backing to lyrics about Tinder and perreo is just, like, intergenerational hangueo is here to stay.
You're so right. Every single, like, tía I talked to in Puerto Rico was like, no, but I love Benito now. Like, mm-hmm. They're all like
they're converted.
That. 100%. Super converted. And this Tiny Desk is going to do so much more to convert them because still, while he incorporated these instruments in the album, a plena arrangement of a dembow song, I've never heard that. And it's gonna bring, I think, even more so all kinds of people to the music.
And it really shows how he's rising to the challenge, because he didn't have to do that. He had plenty of other songs he could have played that would have been amazing from this album already within those musical structures.
Mm-hmm. He's like, Café con Ron? That would be too easy. Please.
Exactly. That was Bad Bunny and his Tiny Desk version of Voy a Llevarte Pa' Perre. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Moving on. Another incredible, unique arrangement. Let's talk about Glow Friends. I'm going to play a little bit of Glow Friends by Bad Bunny.
¿Cómo diablo por olvidarte? Si yo te vi sin ropa. Oscuro de arte. Te prometí que iba a alejarme. Pero ¿cómo quieres que me vaya bien? Si tú no me sacas de los Glow Friends. Me paso toqueándote pa' ver qué haces. Chula, puede que se me pase, pero como quieres que me vaya bien. Si tú no me sacas de la Glow Friends, me pasé toqueándote pa' ver qué hace. En chula, puede que se me pase. Como diablo por olvidarte. Si cuando estoy solo y prendo, lo que hago es pensarte. Mami, me dejaste enviciado, colonizado, otra vez ya como tú. Me dejaste enviciado, peli negro blando, mataré la baby. Dando vueltas por las once, escuchando a Davey a Ozzy. Todo lo mío es tuyo, si quieres te doy la Ozzy. Te quiero comer los labios glossy, glossy. Esto no tiene que pasar.
I know I already said this, but his voice.
Yeah.
And he's in his rapping bag. I love that we got some of that too. We got some of like bar for bar Bad Bunny showing us his OG moves.
The other cuatro player, his name is Luis Sanso. He studied the cuatro. He teaches the cuatro. He's one of just a couple artists from the island who are preserving this very traditional style of playing and actually the instrument.
It's so sharp and it's so specific to the island. And again, we've seen artists who are more within the folk realm, artists like Natalia Lafourcade, artists like Silvana Estrada, who have played cuatros from other parts of the Caribbean and who are very intentional in centering those instruments. But it is just so refreshing to see that music front and center within like a Latin pop sphere, because this is Latin pop now.
Yeah. Hacer reír con los chistes que tú me hacías. No tengo sticker nuevo, mami, porque ya tú no me lo envías. Te fuiste cuando más yo te quería. Y ya nadie sabrá lo que tú y yo pudo ser. Qué triste no conocerá esa parte de mí que yo sé que te iba a gustar. Y nadie sabrá lo que tú y yo pudo ser. Qué triste no conocerá.
That was Glow Friends by Bad Bunny. Very, very, very special moment in the show coming up. This was, I think, hands down for me. So this was like the moment for me. Benito gets into lo que le pasó a Hawaii, which we have to spend some time talking about that. But first, I actually want to talk about what he says after he plays the song.
Mm-hmm.
He gets into this whole really funny story. Like, I don't even know what the word is.
It was like an SNL monologue, essentially.
That's exactly how I describe it.
Sí, le gustó la canción. Y nosotros... Wow, super nice. Como que porque estaban buscando lugares para ensayar acá en Washington, D.C. No nos prestaron.
He tells this hilarious story where he says he's playing in front of the White House. They wouldn't give him another place to play. And this guy comes out and he asks them. He's like, oh, I really love your music.
Mm-hmm. In this fictional scenario. And he says, we can't vote for the person sitting in there, but they decide what happens to our island. Or something to that effect is kind of what he follows it up to say. And then when he gets to the point where he's making a very political point about being a Puerto Rican musician, about the music he's playing right now, and about being in Washington, D.C., I was like, this whole thing is scripted. This whole thing is planned.
Son de Puerto Rico, ¿verdad? Digo, sí, obvio, somos de Puerto Rico.
So at the end of this big story, Benito comes to the conclusion that, like, It's been over 100 years of Puerto Rico being a colony and fighting to preserve their culture and keep it alive, and yet a lot of times, people in the U.S., mainland Americans, don't even know where Puerto Rico is on a map. And it's a very powerful political statement to end on what started like a fun, goofy story.
No saben a veces dónde queda Puerto Rico. Entonces...
The thing is, I mean, I've spent time talking with musicians who have played with him on tour. I spent a lot of time with the guys who came through with him. And everyone says the same thing where they're like, no. He really just constantly changes things up. He's constantly coming up with things on the fly. Like, he gets bored if it's too formulaic. So we're going to play a little bit of Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii, which obviously is one of his most beautiful, important, politically charged songs off the album and from this show. Here's Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii.
Ella se ve bonita, se le vaya mal. En los ojos una sonrisa, aguantándose llorar. La pluma de tu orilla, parecieran de champán. Son alcohol pa' la herida, pa' la tristeza bailar. Son alcohol pa' la herida, porque hay mucho que sanar. En el verde monte adentro, aún se puede respirar. Las nubes están más cerca.
Isa, I've heard this song approximately 10,000 million times. On the recording, I was there the day he played it. I've watched the Tiny Desk since, and it still gives me goosebumps.
I think this song, Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii, is one of the clearest illustrations of what you were saying at the top of this conversation, Anna, about this universal feeling of feeling your home slipping away. This is one of the songs that I've seen all over TikTok with all variations of Latin American flags, of compilation videos of all kinds of different countries. It is a migrant anthem at the end of the day, but it's also a staying anthem. It's an anthem about not leaving and not giving it up.
100%. And the way he comes in on that chorus, he says something about the depth of that voice. Like, it's gravelly, it's raw, it's thick, it's deep. It feels almost comforting. Like, it feels very resolute. It feels very grounded in a way, even more so than I hear on the recording. And there's something about it that makes me feel like, okay, this is what the deal is, but this is how we fight this.
Quieren quitarme el río y también la playa. Quieren al barrio mío y que abuelita se vaya. No, suelte la bandera.
The studio version of Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii plays with these dropouts, with these moments of silence right before he goes into his grand statement, you know? But I think something about it being in this room that you know is full of people and the ability for everyone to just be quiet for those few seconds before he delivers this political thesis. There's just something so powerful about experiencing that in a communal space, because the office was packed. There was so many people there. And you could have heard a pin drop in those few seconds.
Thank you.
That was Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii by Bad Bunny. But speaking, Issa, of the way that he really took command of the space, right? He did more of this kind of like interstitial play thing. He had the moment he's like, should I be speaking Spanish? I don't know. Should I be speaking English? Which was hilarious and perfect.
He said, I don't care. As he told the New York Times.
Again and again and again and again. He does this insane thing where he calls out, he uses the audience to introduce the set. It's once again this masterful, masterful performance thing that he does, right? Where he's like, oh, but like, what's my dad's name? And he says, even before he says that, he goes, you could take anyone's name and put them at the beginning of this song. And that to me was like, whoa, yeah, like, quien isn't part of La Mudanza? Like, who doesn't have that in their lineage, at least amongst Latinos? And so when he did that, and then he calls out, what's my dad's name? Someone from the audience starts to go, and he's like, oh, yeah, Benito, hijo de Benito.
Yeah, he's doing, like, a really interesting, non-traditional call and response. Because if you know what this question is leading to.
Absolutely.
And then it leads to poetry. It leads to what's essentially a poem.
I know, it's not rapping.
No.
It's not singing, it's poetry.
It's like spoken word.
I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit. This is La Mudanza by Bad Bunny.
Se lo querían llevar, tuvo que enseñarle el pasado, cabrón. Tú no, ¿qué historia te enseñó? Ay. Entonces, ahí fue que yo le dije, ah, pues tú eres de Puerto Rico, con tu y la bandera, que, la gorrita, que dice PR, pero tú sabes que todo el mundo ahora quiere ponerse una gorra así. Yo le dije, ¿dónde tú eres, amigo? Y a mí me dijo, yo soy de Pepo Guinere.
Yo soy de Pepo Guinere. Yo soy de Pepo Guinere. Yo soy de Pepo Guinere. Yo soy de Pepo Guinere. Yo soy de Pepo Guinere. Yo soy de Pepo Guinere.
I had this moment, Issa, where I was watching this and he says that Aki, his line about they killed people
for bringing out the flag.
For bringing out the flag. And I look at this gorgeous, gorgeous Puerto Rican flag, which, by the way, we had our amazing colleague Adrian Florido actually brought from Puerto Rico. It was handmade. I see it there just absolutely brilliant on that desk. And you know there's a very specific varietal of blue that a Puerto Rican flag has to have, because when they got their own flag, it was like, oh, let's just make it American blue. And it's like, no, no, no. We want this beautiful, crystal, bright light like the ocean azul. And to see that on our desk with him singing those words, I mean, it made me cry.
I think there's two things about La Mudanza and this performance of it that are really special and that really bring this point home. First, the specificity of him telling his family history, but saying this could be anyone's story, like just taking pride in where you come from and thanking your ancestors, that's a really powerful thing that anyone can identify with. And I think he sets it up perfectly here. But also, once again, he's blending the personal with the history. The fact that the Puerto Rican flag was banned. People were persecuted for wanting to show Puerto Rican pride for decades. And that's why it's so powerful now, and that's why it's such an important symbol. I mean, if you're in New York City, you see the Puerto Rican flag everywhere, and it's because that used to be a right that people didn't have. So for him to have it displayed in front of the desk, to be singing about it, to be joyful in the presence of the flag, I mean, I was crying too.
And he proceeds to go and make this the most fun, improvisational, because all the best time to, like, the ones that people really get excited about, remember, they're all improv. You can see them, they're having fun, they're just doing whatever, they're just being good musicians, right? They're making good
art. They're jamming out.
Exactly, because that's the space.
Loco, cabrón, tú eres loco. Lo que tú digas, me importa poco, a mí me quiero.
his conguero.
Yeah.
Julito Gaston, and oh my god, the solo he does. I'm gonna play you a little bit of this.
Please do.
This will really be one of those shows that I think, this is like when you look at Tiny Desk and you're like, what's the impact? There's a few that I'm like, oh, these will be in the museums. Like, these will be actually relics that we use to remember certain really important cultural historical moments. And this has to be one of the top for me.
I agree 100%. And I think, again, so much has been said and written on our air, on this show, in other outlets, about Bad Bunny's politics and Bad Bunny using music as a vehicle of politics. And I think that's never been clearer than it was during this performance.
Oh, well, I need to go watch it again.
Achopere!
But thank you so much for coming to unpack this with me. This was so fun.
Anytime. I'm always
like,
happy to go.
I know my girl who I can call up who's like obsessed with this as much as I am. So
just hit me up. Thank
Amazing.
You.
That was Isabella Gomez Sarmiento. She is a reporter on the Culture Desk and one of my favorite people on the planet Earth. Thanks for coming.
Te quiero!
You have been listening to Alt Latino from NPR Music. Our audio producer for this episode is Simon Rentner. The woman who keeps us on track is Grace Chung. Saraya Mohammed is the executive producer of NPR Music. And our jefe in chief is Keith Jenkins, VP of Music and Visuals. I'm Ana Maria Sayer. Thank you so much for listening. Yo me